Hallelujah. Can we stand up and pick our text from the book of Luke? Now, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. May the Lord teach us how to pray today in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Be seated. And so we are looking at how to pray. Just a recap. God operates by a principle. Once you are born again, the next thing that is left for us is to establish a relationship with our God as a father and a child. He has designed, and that is the mysterious thing about this God. Though he knows your problem, but he will not solve your problem until you ask him to solve it. That's the interesting thing about this God that we serve. Very, very interesting. He works by principle and he has no special child. What makes you special is your ability to walk by his principle. Because he cannot deny himself. You see? So it is important. Very, very important. When somebody called me from, is this Spain or so, yesterday, I know, from Iceland, and then he was saying something, when he asked the question in the scripture, and I explained to him, and I told him something. I mean, he made a statement. He said, true, concerning salvation, it is 100% God's own affair. Brethren, nobody can help God. You can't help God. You cannot help God to save anybody. See, the interesting thing about it is, when God wants to save somebody, this God we are saying has once by principle. The best thing, therefore, the wisest thing for you to do is learn his principles concerning everything. Now your Christian faith will be sweet. Your Christian walk will be sweet. But people who don't walk, who don't know his principles, they will always suffer. They will always suffer. For instance, this God is so great, so powerful, that it will take him nothing to change a sinner to a saint. It will take him nothing. By one wave of the hand, he can redeem, change back, remove sin from the whole world. But do you know that he, God, will be doing with Satan as if two human beings are fighting? Doesn't God have the power to speak Satan out of existence? But Satan will come and scatter. Then God will come and repair. Satan will come and scatter. Then God will come and repair. And the interesting thing is, while he is repairing, he knows that Satan will come, yet he will not stop him. That's our God. He was creating an animal serpent. Didn't he know that he will destroy and spoil a program that will take him 6,000 years to repair? Why didn't he finish him? That is the God we serve. He has ordained that he will save man, but he will use man, another man, to save man. He has ordained that he will answer your prayers, but he, God, ordained that he will always answer your prayer through a man. Through a human being. Just like Satan walks through human beings, God too walks only through human beings. So we are very important. Because he is bound by his principles. He can't bypass it. He knows what you are going through. He knows that sickness will kill you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't pray, you will be destroyed because you have no knowledge of the power of prayer. He won't bypass it. But even when his mercy come upon you, he just decided maybe because of a purpose he has in your life, so that you still achieve that purpose. Instead of even coming directly, nothing, he will not act until he moves. So he will go to an intercessor and give the person a vision and put a burden in the heart. And that person will continue to be praying for you, so that that prayer can move him to come and save you. Why couldn't he just come? Why does he have to go through an intercessor to move him to come? It's a principle. So a Christian that finds it difficult to pray, he will live a miserable life. But I don't fornicate, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't do this. I live my life. I pay my tithe regularly. I do this one regularly. Yes. Holy brother. You don't pray, you'll be a miserable holy brother. You'll be a miserable holy sister. That was my emphasis last week. Praise the Lord. Because He, God, is a God that answers prayers. We have that confidence. And I say, what is a prayer? Prayer is asking Him to do something for you. That is the prayer. That's what my learned colleague was showing me. Something from the court today. Is he still here? What the meaning of prayer? Let me read that paragraph again. Now this is, praise the Lord. He said, in a matter of an application by this company, these two applicants, and then an emotion expert, you know, brought on that so. Now the judge now says, take notice that this honorable court will be moved on so dates. At the hour of 9 o'clock in the afternoon, or so soon thereafter, as counsel may be heard on behalf of the applicants, praying the honorable court the following orders. The applicants are asking the court to give the following order. That is the meaning of prayer. You are asking a higher authority, a final authority, that when he speaks, it becomes stamped, permanent, law, order. It is called prayer. When you come before God to pray, now why I brought this up is because some of us, we go for prayers and we think we are praying when actually we are not praying. We are not praying. Instead of praying, what you are actually doing, you are just making empty noise. That is what I stressed last week. And we saw that in Matthew 17, that the disciples spent all day casting out the spirit. They couldn't cast that spirit. But when that same child was brought to Jesus, one word and the demon left. And the disciples came to Jesus to ask him, why couldn't we cast out that spirit? And Jesus answered and said, one is because of your unbelief, but more importantly, this type cannot go except by fasting and praying. And so in Luke chapter 11, therefore, one day they saw him praying, because he's always withdrawing to go and pray. So they jam him somewhere praying, and they now ask him, Master, teach us how to pray. How to pray. I emphasized last week. My emphasis, I pray that I'll be able to truly cause somebody here to understand something that will rearrange your spirit life, your spiritual life. Prayer. I'm talking to born again Christians. So that you can pray and have results. Sometimes you go to the mountain, you do dry fasting for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 1 week. Some people even go to the mountain and spend 1 month. Amen. And the truth is, examine it carefully. I have examined some of them. I have been to the mountain too to see some of them. And I discovered that they wasted their time doing nothing. They just went there and then got hungry for some days. And then got slim, changed their shape, and come down. Amen. Let me tell you one of the evidence that you know that you didn't meet with God when you go to the mountain. One of the evidence. This is one evidence you will have. Because when you go to the mountain to pray, you are supposed to be in God's presence. And nobody goes before God's presence and remains the same. Now let me tell you one of the evidence. Somebody here. Now if you have a weakness. If you have a weakness. You have a weakness. And you did not take that weakness to the Lord in prayer to deal with the weakness. And then you went, and whatever is disturbing you was what you were praying. As soon as you come down from the mountain, the first thing that confronts you is that weakness. If you are a fornicator, and you did not go to the Lord to take care of fornication, that night when you arrive, for 7 days your girlfriend has not seen you. So she come to greet you. How was the mountain? I miss you, honey. You will just fall, yakata. Wow. That means you didn't pray. You went there to waste your time. Went there to waste your time. That's why I want you to know how to pray. Praise God. Let me take it systematically. The answer teaches us how to pray is in Matthew chapter 6. I'll take it systematically. The answer that he gave them is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. He said, teach us how to pray. This is the answer. Are we there? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So that is number one. How do you pray? Personal prayers are done secretly. Secretly. Don't pray to announce that you are a prayer warrior. If you are a true prayer warrior that believe in prayer, your neighbors should not know when you are praying. Hallelujah. All this, your midnight prayer that you disturb the whole compound, you are not praying. No. Jesus said, all your reward will be, the whole compound will say, Kai, and until they pray. Kai, that man, then they pray. He said, that is all your reward. That's all your reward. But a man that prays in secret, everything just work fine for you. They're wondering why sickness, no, they come that house. They're wondering why before your house rent is due, you don't get and pay. They're wondering why everything, your business just they move up and down like that, just, you know, anywhere. And yet, they don't know your secret. Anytime you see them coming to you, brother, what is the secret? Amen. The only time you will show them the evidence of your secret, you say, you want to know my secret? You say, yes, I will show you this night. I will take you where the secret is. Midnight, come and knock my door. Who will go? When you come, finish, you say, fold your trousers, go on your knees. That's why they do it. Every night, this is how I pray. You pray in secret, he will reward you openly. So number one, avoid hypocritical prayers. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, he said, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do,
for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So if you look at this verse 7, all this idea of praying with chest B like the Catholics pray, counting 70 Hail Mary and 30 Our Father and the 100 St. Jude to pray for us and all those ones. Amen. It is the heathens that do it. The more you say a particular statement, then you think that is when it becomes more effective. He said, don't pray like that. And I told you last week how some people pray and they think they are praying. Sit down, Oluau, Oluau. I told you that last week. When I reached home, they said, wait, my wife, there was one my wife was reminding me she saw. How that one be? How that one be? Give her, they say another one she said she has seen. How that one be?
Lua.
And I see where I learned all those things from. Praise the Lord.
Another person thing is praying. What are you saying? You say you don't enter spirit.
The Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit says that.
It's not how much you that will say the prayer serious.
Hallelujah. Stop all that mumu type of this thing. We are wiser than that. We have a relationship with God. Shouldn't be like that. Praise the Lord. So don't count your prayers. Don't count it. Don't count it. Amen. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. Don't talk to him as if he doesn't know. He already knows. He only wants you to voice it. Voice it. And you are supposed to relate to your heavenly Father the way a child relates to his earthly father. And no child. So sometimes, God will bless us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God will bless us. God will help us. Learn how to relate with your heavenly Father. It's the same way a child relates to his father, earthly father. Prayer is very simple. Forget the way some people teach it to look as if they acquired it in some way as special. Nothing. Nobody teaches a child how to relate with his earthly father. It's automatic. This confusion that I have to teach you now has been brought about by a spirit of error. And we are part of the restoration ministry. Restoring your relationship with your father back. That is why all this teaching is important again. And let me tell you, I am not telling you this from any book I have read. I am telling you this because about 3 weeks ago or so, the Holy Ghost came to me sitting down on my bed and I was praying and told me, do you know you are not praying? And decided to correct me. Now I know what prayer means. Because some of us just carry on from where we were brought up. Somebody will wake up in the morning. I mean, and all you wake up is and you are attacking the enemy and attacking the enemy and attacking the enemy. And then you come out of the room. What have you been doing for the past 2 hours? I have been praying. You have not been praying. You have been the one attacking. You didn't pray. You were fighting. Hallelujah. The Bible in verse 5 of John chapter 15, it says, for without me, you can do said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, our weapons of warfare, he said, they are mighty through God. Without him, you cannot fight any battle, because you are fighting an enemy you cannot see. So you depend on him. You have to trust in him. Totally you depend on him. You wake up, you are fighting, and somebody say you are praying. And any time you fight, God will step aside and look at you. Until the day you come and invite him to come and fight. That is prayer. Praise God. Okay, let's read on. Verse 9. That's where we are going. After this manner therefore pray, everybody, shall we go? Our Father. Go on. Say it. Power and glory forever. Amen. I know where you learned it from. Some people are not even reading it. You already know it by heart. It's time for prayer. Can you stand up? Then your church will stand up. Our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then you say it sanctimoniously. And then you think you are praying. Our Father who art in heaven. Some of you will even kneel down before you say it. This is how Jesus himself said. This is how he said we should pray. By himself. Now. How can you say? He came to them and said, teach me to pray. So you want a wife. Teach me how to pray to have a wife. Teach me how to pray to have a husband. Then, this is how he said you should pray to have a husband. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. I have prayed. For husband, Abi? Hallelujah. The enemy is disturbing me. A man or a woman, say, I will not prosper. He told me, he's always attacking me in the dream. When you wake up, teach me how to pray, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for revelation. Jesus was not giving you prayer to repeat. He was telling you how to pray. This is how you should pray. Number one, you are to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means when you come before the Lord, you want to pray, start with worship. Don't just go and knock the door like a landlord. We ask a tenant, my rent. Don't do that. Worship him for who he is. Hallelujah. Worship him, our Father. Recognize him as your heavenly Father, that you came from him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are two ways by which you can worship God. You can worship him by, speaking, confessing his greatness, confessing who you know him to be, confess it, or sing of his greatness. So you can either sing or you say, you confess it. You can sing about his greatness. How great, you can say, you can confess it. How great. I see the stars. I see the moon.
I see your creation, then I know how great you are. You can also sing that, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. You are not singing because somebody else sang it. You are singing because those words, you are now personalizing it. First, worship him first. Hallelujah. Give him worship. That is what Jesus Christ is saying. That is how you should pray. Don't begin to sing. I want to praise God now. I want to pray. I want to praise God. God of vengeance. Fight of my enemies. Those that say, hey, I want to worship God. Hey, I want to worship God. Holy Ghost, fire, pursue the help. What are you doing? Leave me, I want to worship my God. Are you worshiping him? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We stand to praise God. Don't stand up and say, hey, I need a miracle in my life. What are you doing? I'm praising him. No, it's time for that type of prayer. For that type of song, I mean. Now is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The second thing is thy kingdom come. That is the next thing. Hallelujah. What is thy kingdom come? What you are saying there is immediately ask for his presence to come down. That is what he says. Ask for his presence to come down where you are. Ask for his glory to come down. Ask for his presence. Thy kingdom come. The next one. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, let him know, blessed be the name of the Lord, that him alone you will worship. Let him know that him alone, thy will alone will be done in my life. And your will is that I will serve you all the days of my life. Let him know that. That you will do his will and his will alone. The will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the time you will tell him you will serve him all the days of your life. That's the time you will tell him, hallelujah, hallelujah, that from now on, begin to confess. You will live in holiness. That is his will. You will follow his true righteousness. You are the one I know, Jesus. You are the one I know. I will not serve any other God. You alone. That is what he expects you to say. And the fourth, remember, even that establishes a fact that he says, 6:33, where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what he's establishing there. And then all other things shall follow. That's why the fourth thing there is, he said, now give us this day our daily bread. You have already now taken care of the spiritual aspect. Then begin to tell him what you need. Give me. What do you want God to do for you? That is the only time you begin to bring out your prayer list and your prayer point and begin to call them one after the other. Praise the Lord. The fifth thing that I mentioned there, he said, and give us our, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
this is the point that you begin to ask for God's mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You begin to ask for God's mercy. But he said you are only qualified if you too, you have been forgiven others. Amen. Ask for his mercy. Because no human being is without sin. Either sins of commission or sin of omission. One way or the other, with your eyes, your ears, your mouth, even with your thoughts. Every day you live in this flesh, you are bound to do one thing or the other that will require the mercy of God. The sixth thing there is, lead us not into temptation. When you say lead us not into temptation, you are going to pray against dangers. Hallelujah. He said, because he said, they leadeth me beside the still waters. Psalm 23 says so. Still waters there. Amen. Keeping all dangers at peace. All storms at peace. It's a prayer point. He wants you. Tell God every time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lead us into temptation. The seventh one is, but deliver us from evil. That is the time now you commit your battles into his hand. Which battle do you want God to take over and fight? That is the time you commit it into his hand. And number eight, he said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. He's saying, end the prayer again with worship. Close your prayers with thanksgiving and worship. That is how you should pray. Any other way you pray is wrong. And this is from the mouth of Jesus himself. And what is written is written. That is how to pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you may be coming like that. Listen, church. Hindrances to prayers. Hindrances to prayers. I have four of them here immediately that come to mind. Number one is a big mistake many of us make. Whether it is mountain you are going to. You are going for a fellowship. Wherever the fellowship is. Including the prayer groups. Prayer group leaders, listen. Even when you are coming alone. Like I met a brother during the week. I said, what happened? He said he just come to just offer a word of prayer at the altar. He closed from work. That is his own routine. He comes before the altar, prays, and then before he goes home from his place of work. Oh, you are going to meet a minister of God. The Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 16 and some other scriptures. He said, when you come before God's presence, don't come empty handed. That is number one hindrance. And it is an area that a lot of people take for granted. It hinders your prayers. God himself was the one that gave that commandment through Moses. Even the whole of Israel, they practiced it. You don't go and meet a prophet to inquire from God for you. And you go empty handed. Don't do that. Don't come to fellowship. You're coming to church. William Bryan himself made that statement. He said, no service is complete without offering. It is God's principle. So when you're going to the mountain, every mountain there are people who maintain that mountain. There are people who keep that mountain. They even have offering boxes they keep in one corner there. That is why in this ministry, we have an offering box by the altar. To 24 hours, anytime you come, you drop the offering. When you come together in your prayer group meetings, before you close, take an offering. So, when in fellowship they invite you to follow anybody, go anywhere, and please, don't go with this attitude.
it's time for offering. That is why I say, oh, offering.
Hey, what did I get here?
Don't do that. Did you come to that place by mistake? By accident? By the way? You prepared. Obey, where are you going?
They invite me to one fellowship here. Now, there they go.
Then when you reach that offering, you say, hey,
I know that I get anything here.
What's your problem?
Hey, I don't get change. And only 1,000 I get there, 1,500. Me, I know if you give all 500 here. Me, I know. I know if you give anything. No. Even self. Now Catholic Church, I don't give. Now lie. No, because it's a Catholic Church. You are stingy. Didn't they call the name of Jesus there?
Anywhere you go. So on Sunday, you are going to church. Friday, you are going to church. Like this ministry. On Friday, on Tuesday, you are coming here. When you leave your house, as you carry your Bible, as you cannot forget your Bible, don't forget your offering. Carry your offering and put it in one page of that Bible and go to church. It can't even fall, by the way, because I'm robber, not the thief Bible. So if they say, hey, you jump one chance, they will search you. They will not search the Bible. So the offering is there. That is number one hindrance. Tap your neighbor. Tap your neighbor. Don't go before God's presence empty handed. That is why some of you actually go before a gifted brother that speaks and God hears him, a prophet, and you will stay there and you will not hear anything from God for you. You will not hear anything from God. The reason why, amen, Malabo, we went to Malabo. You know why everybody was testifying there? Those people, they took care of us as if we were angels from heaven. They took care of us until it was even being difficult to fast. They spoil us. They recognize us as ministers of God. So why will God not bless them? That is why, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we invite a minister to come and minister to us here, we must give that minister an offering. If you are going to connect to his grace, the grace of God upon his life, you must give him an offering. It is God's standard. When you go before a prophet, amen, remember, he is not the one you are meeting. You are meeting his God. There's a grace you see in him. Amen. Look, there is a type of gift you give him. Eh? That even if he didn't want to enter spirit before, that gift will send him into the spirit. I'm telling you. Why I'm hammering this one is it is the commonest error among believers, especially in this ministry. You see, the unfortunate thing that has befallen our members in this church, I say unfortunate, and it's really, really unfortunate, is that because we are a ministry that we do certain things so that we will not be mistaken for one of those other churches that is money. So we decide not to emphasize in those areas. But because of it, some people who are stingy, they have found this church comfortable. You see? Because we have warned. If any minister we hear that open his mouth to ask a member for anything, we step down the minister in this church. It's unethical to do it. It's unethical to do it. But let me tell you, not one day did you hear that the Levites were complaining when the Jews were not bringing their tithes. They never complained. They were still their ministry. It was God that got angry and warned them. Say, you are robbers. He said, bring you all the tithes that there may be meat in my house. You rob me in tithes and in offerings. Is it God that chops it? It is his servants, the Levites. But they never, they were still continuing their work. We will continue our work as long as we are in the will of God. As long as we are faithful, our God knows how to enter your pocket to come and take care of us. He will do it, but we will never beg you. And no true minister should do that. Any pastor in any church that calls somebody, hey, you come. The Lord wants a boss from you. Quickly, quickly. You are buying a new car, and I'm still using Tokumbo. Eh? Is something wrong with you? Come on, come on, come on, go and get me a car. That pastor is a witch. He's a witch. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here, millionaires are hiding among us. But for you too to see, can't you see that you are not bringing the money? And yet, when we need, there is a supply. You hide here and you don't know you are limiting yourself. You say you are a millionaire. Maybe by now, you will have been a billionaire. So, a spirit of stinginess is upon the people. You hide so that people will not know you are a car. You have money. You take Okada and come to church. Meanwhile, you have 5 jeeps in your house. You don't belong to any group so that your group members will not discover who you are. And the grace here is a grace of prosperity. Praise the Lord. I am happy when you prosper. And every true father should be happy when his children prosper above him. And you must prosper. But that is a hindrance. That is a hindrance. They are the type that will gather. All of you that have money, you don't give. Listen, I'm not lying. You have not come to tell me, but I know, because it's a spiritual principle. You go gather, smother into a crowd. Wada! You go run again. Call the prayer contractors. Come on. See what happened. All my goods, they seized this in the sea. They, for the past 1 month, they never arrived. Come on, let's go and pray. Then he will give you 10,000 naira to go to mountain. Then you go and fast for him. He's eating in his house with his wife. You're on the mountain. All because he's stingy. There are churches where I have seen our sister church in Port Harcourt, in Ahoda. It was an army colonel. He was with us here. They moved into Port Harcourt. There they retired him. As soon as they retired him, he was the one that came to the church. They were renting a place. He bought the land and built the whole church single-handedly. A church that has a capacity of about over 500 members. The capacity of the church. He said, for God keeping him till he finished his service, this is what he will do for Thanksgiving. Our own millionaires here, they will bring 1 packet of water. Ever water. And keep. As Thanksgiving for all the millions he got last year. In our Thanksgiving. When you do that, you are hindering your prayers. Number 2. Unforgiveness. He said, when you pray, forgive. If anybody has any ought against you. Verse 25 of Mark chapter 11 says so. Verse 25 and verse 26. Praise the Lord. You saw the parable of the unjust servant.
His master forgave him all the millions that he owed. And just a few hundreds that somebody else owed him, he was dragging him and dragging him to court and disturbing him. And the master had, he said, you owe millions, I forgive you. This one, small way they owe you, you are torturing. He said, okay, therefore now, all the one way you don't owe me before, now pay me back. It's a principle the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number three hindrance, disobedience to God's word. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Why is your prayer not being answered? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What is iniquity? It's knowing the right thing to do and refusing to do it. What is sin? Unbelief, stubbornness. You know what you're doing is wrong and you're still doing it. In that estate, anything you go before God's presence, he will never hear you. It is thus said the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is what the Lord said in Isaiah 66. Let me start from verse 1. He said, thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But that is where I am going. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and the man that trembleth at my word. That is the one that he, God, will hear. When that person prays, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, John 15 verse 6 and verse 7 says so. He said, then you will ask anything of the Father and he will do it. But no, his word has to abide in you and you abide in the word. That means a total obedience to God's word. That is the man that when he prays, God we answer. Jesus Christ said, my Father heareth me always, because I do always those things that are pleasing before him. Number four, hindrance. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word, he, God, he heareth. That means, if you don't pray according to his will, he will not hear you. Am I correct? It means if you don't pray according to the will of God, you are wasting your time. The will of God is his word. Concerning that thing you are asking for, is it according to the will of God for you or not? Now, the question is, how do I know the will of God? The Bible is a guide for us. Are you praying for marriage? What is the will of God concerning marriage? You shall not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. If you carry an unbeliever, you are disturbing heaven for marriage. You are praying outside the will of God as a believer. Except, of course, God told you that unbeliever is the one he has ordained for you. Marry him. Then, if you are now praying because God gave you a revelation, God gave you a vision, that is your husband, now you are now praying according to the will of God. Now, if you leave that one because he's an unbeliever, and now your eye is on one minister in bride assembly, you are now praying against the will of God. Though he's in the same church with you. The other one, God told you that is your husband. You are sure it's God that told you. But you are saying, hey, this is where my mind is. Lord, give me AK, AK, Francis, AK, Francis. very handsome man like this. That's my heart desire. God cannot give me what I don't want. It is a prayer against the will of God. He will not answer you. So the will of God is the Bible. And it is the will of God that you should be healed. So every prayer for healing is according to the will of God. It's the will of God for the fruit of the womb. Hallelujah. Find out, is this the will of God? And pray. And God will answer you. Amen. You know, even with Abraham, when he said, in a message he titled, "Is this the time? Is this the time?" I think he preached in 1962. And then he said, he was given a testimony that he met these astrologers, these unbelievers, one time. He met one of them, and the person was discerning him. I was telling him that, look at you. You were born under so-so-so star. The day you were born, a certain type of constellation of stars were formed. And you come under that star. He said, and he said, you are here living in the eastern part of, what do you call it, in America now. He said, the eastern part. He said, I see you. You will not prosper in the east. He said, I see you prospering in the west. He said, he ignored it. I don't know, unbeliever, the familiar spirit, they prophesied to me. He ignored it. Until that day, that the angel came and visited him and told him that it is time for him to move away from here and go to the west. So anything he will stay in the east there to do, it will not prosper. There are some of you that God did not ordain you to prosper abroad. Find out the will of God first. You travel, you go there, you're wasting your time. God, even the business you are doing, find out the will of God for that business. Amen. Hallelujah. And there are some of you that if you remain here, you will never prosper unless you go out of the country. Amen. Even ministry, you will not prosper if you remain in certain places. Find out where you are to go and serve God. Because everybody is opening church in Lagos. I don't know whether there are more unbelievers in Lagos than in the villages. God called me. You are looking for one corner of Lagos. Your own village, you don't conquer and finish. Everybody in Lagos. You can never prosper in a ministry like that if there is a call of God upon you. So these are some of the hindrances. Praise the Lord. Can we bow down our heads? Hallelujah. Somebody here, your spiritual life will change. Just talk to God. Lord, fire my prayer life. I have known today that without prayer I cannot receive anything from you. Make me a prayer warrior. Cause me to relate with you very well in prayers. I don't like my prayer life now. After 2 minutes, I don't know what to say again. But some people pray for 3 hours. Why is my own different? Lord, revive my prayer life. Restore my prayer life. That is a serious prayer point for any true Christian that will enjoy your Christian life. Please talk to God. To God. It's time for restoration. Restoration will come by prayer. talk to God concerning your spiritual life, your prayer life. Face your prayer life. That's all you need now that you are born again. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord fire your prayer life from today in the name of Jesus Christ. May your time for prayer be your sweetest moment of the day in the name of Jesus Christ. May God do something in your spirit man that will make you love the time for prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer point. That God should make prayer time the sweetest moment of the day for me. Not the time that I will dread. Oh, time for prayer again. Oh, what can I go talk? No. And the only way to make prayer sweet is to see that when you pray, there is result. When you pray, you see Him in action. You will confirm that He is the one that spoke to me so that I will share it with you by reviving your prayer lives from today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Has made herself